It's beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Then whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. What a marvelous day to worship the Lord of all, our Savior Jesus Christ. So good to be with you. You know, today I'm going to be preaching on a subject that, well, a lot of people just don't want to hear about. I believe that you're going to enjoy it. I believe we should enjoy all of the doctrines of Christ and learning about them and maybe discovering some little nuggets of truth we may have overlooked, no matter how many times we've read the Bible. And that's what God has given me the charge to do. The subject today is hell. H-E-L-L. Now, if you don't believe in hell, you'll definitely want to stay tuned. And if you do believe in hell, well, and you're not sure you're a Christian, well, you'll want to stay tuned. And if you are saved and you know it and you believe in hell, well, you'll want to stay tuned because I'm going to confirm exactly what you know from Scripture. But it'll be in a format that, well, even you, I think, will get a blessing from it. How do I know you're going to be blessed? Not because of what I say. I was blessed myself by going to the Word of God and studying hell. It wasn't the most pleasant of subjects. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, the Bible tells us that we need to turn our attention to the whole counsel of God. Now, I intend sometime in the future to give a more glorious sermon even than this, one about heaven. But, you know, it strikes me that when you go to funerals today, and I've been to so many, they talk a lot about heaven, but they don't mention hell. I think there's a song, I can't remember the words, somewhere about, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go to hell. Well, I understand that everybody, there was a poll taken, a Gallup poll, that says about everybody believes in heaven. Ask them, do you believe in heaven? Oh, yes. Believe in angels? Oh, yes. You know, they've seen shows like Touched by an Angel on TV and such. Well, what about dark angels? What about Lucifer? What about hell? Oh, well, I don't know about that. They begin to scratch their head a little bit. Oh, well, now I surely not. Well, we're going to go into it today, and we're going to start a three-part series. There's plenty of room in hell. Ooh, a lot of people don't know that. Oh, yeah, God's making it bigger all the time. Have you ever driven down the highway of a growing city and it seems like every day things change? You know, one day there's a new skyscraper going up on the left side of the freeway and you drive down the road a little bit and there's a big new shopping center going up. Just keeps being enlarged. Well, that's the way hell is. You know, God is just busy as can be, making hell bigger and bigger. A lot of people say, well, is it going to be big enough to house all the people that he's going to send there? Well, yes, it is. He'll make sure there's plenty of room. Remember Jesus said he was going to prepare a mansion for us in heaven? Oh, yes. God has prepared a great mansion for you in heaven if you're saved. But if you're not, my friends, there's a condo down in hell. Well, I don't know if it's a condo. I like to stretch things a bit. God has to forgive me of that. But it sounds like if the mansions are in heaven, the condos should be down in hell. I don't know. A lot of nice condos, aren't there? So maybe that wouldn't be. Let's just say a little prison cell or compartment. But before we start our worship with the message and part one of There's Plenty of Room in Hell, well, we're going to give you some heaven right here on earth. Some beautiful music. I love beautiful music, and I don't know of any beautier. Is that a good? No, that's not. That's no, no, no. Okay, I don't know of anything more beautiful. Yes, yes, they're all smiling now. Everybody loves my English. They love that. I've corrected it now. Nothing is more beautiful than the Lord's Prayer in song. And recently, I heard this fantastic voice booming out his baritone voice. And I don't know how a person can sing and smile at the same time, but often Johnny Ray Watson does it. Well, he's got an album out entitled Music That Heals the Heart, and it's all the great old hymns, and one of them is the Lord's Prayer. Oh, my. There's plenty of room in hell, but if you want some heaven, right here on earth. Now, I don't really believe heaven is on earth, but maybe God gives us a little foretaste. Here it is, the Lord's Prayer, sung by my good friend Johnny Ray Watson. And I'll be back right afterwards with, oh, my, there's plenty of room in hell. Before we begin today, I want to tell you how much I really appreciate your support and prayers for this ministry. I'm telling you, the first thing I do when I get to work every day, I go right over to the mail table and I pick up the letters for that day. I go through each one of them. And some of them, of course, I can't get to right away. I put them in this stack and that stack. I read everything that comes in, and I read the emails that come in every day. And I get so many, I wish I could answer everyone personally. And please, I don't want you to be offended if I don't answer your email or your letter. If some of you ask me to pray for you, ask the ministry to pray for you, and I promise you, I will pray for you, and I do pray for you. And even if you don't hear back from me, let me tell you something. I hope you'll feel it. I hope you will. I remember back during the Vietnam War, I was at the base chapel in Karat Air Base, Thailand, and some of my good friends had been shot down and were prisoners of war. And we were praying. We were praying, I mean, just diligently for them. And we prayed about 2 hours for these men, that God would be with them as they were in that horrible prison cell that euphemistically was called the Hanoi Hilton. And I remember as we ended our prayers and thanked our Lord Jesus for answering us, one of the sergeants that was there, he said to a chaplain that was attending, he said, "Do you think that the prisoners actually felt our prayers in their prison cells?" Well, the chaplain, he was sort of about half liberal, half conservative Methodist. And he said, "I don't think so." And I very quickly came in with a smile on my face, and I said, "You know what? I believe they could. I believe those men somehow knew we were praying for them. And you can call it supernatural, you can call it whatever you want to, my friends, but I'm telling you something. When you pray for a person, you see, prayer changes things." Now, you say, "Can you prove that scientifically?" Oh, I wish I had the time and the energy, because I know I could. Let me tell you something, my friends. If you pray that a person would come to Jesus Christ and be saved, you better believe there's going to be agony in their spirit. They're going to be drawn to the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you pray for them. Oh, they'll know. You don't even have to tell a person. I've actually had people come up to me and say, "Brother Tex, have you been praying for me about this or that need?" And I said, "Well, yes, sister, I was praying for you." And she says, "Well, you won't believe this, but I just had this great sense of wonderment in my heart, and I knew that problem was going to be taken care of. What time were you praying?" And I said, "Well, I was praying last night. It must have been about 9:15 p.m. And this particular sister said, "Well, that's when?" She said, "I was sitting in my living room, and I was reading a magazine, a Christian magazine, in fact, and," she said, "and suddenly something just came into my heart, and I knew my prayers were answered. And it was exactly 9:15. I looked at my watch, and I said, "Well, that was when I was praying." And I said, "Well, sister, let's just see if your prayers have been answered." And my prayers at that moment. And you know, 2 days later, she called me back, and she talked about the miracle. I can't even discuss it on the air today. But she said to me, and here is the amazing thing, it was at exactly 9:15 that the miracle occurred in the life of her cousin that I'd prayed for. So you see, God was using prayer. He was, as I was praying, he was changing the life of a person that I was praying for. And the sister that had been praying very fervently on the same subject and had asked me to pray, she felt something. Oh, you say, "Well, Tex, that's magical. That's sixth sense." No, it's not. This is just basic biblical truth that God answers prayer. Jesus said you can move mountains. So I believe what Jesus said. You know, and if you don't believe in the supernatural faith of God, well, that's your problem. I'll pray for you too. And then you're going to be in trouble, because then you'll start believing, because God will answer my prayers. Well, I believe very strongly that God loves us. He's merciful. He wants to help us. But you know, the Bible says you receive not because you ask not. That's why most people don't get what they need in life. Now, notice I didn't say what they want. A lot of wants that you want that God is not going to give you. You can pray all day. A lot of things. you don't realize are like serpents for you. I'll never forget a young girl. She came in. She says, Pastor Tex, I've been praying that, you know, Jason would fall in love with me, but he hasn't. Well, I knew the problem was Jason was a no good. He was into drugs. He was into this. This was a young Christian girl. Here she was wanting this unbeliever who would have brought her down into the pit with him. And, you know, he wouldn't pay a bit of attention to her. So she asked me about it, and I told her. You know, the Bible says, be not yoked unequally. She says, you mean just because he's not a Christian, God's not going to make him love me? She was only 16. I said, well, that's exactly right. She says, well, how should I pray? I said, well, you pray that God will go up into his heart and he'll repent and become a Christian. And you know, she did. And I don't know the result of that. I have to admit, I haven't talked to that young lady. But it could just be that Jason and her married somewhere. That was some years ago. But see, this is the way things work. I wasn't going to pray that she and Jason could get together and he could fall in love with her. Of course, 16, I don't know. I, you know, love anyway at 16, it sort of changes. But... Now, young teenagers, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling the truth. You know, you might love 10 more people before you get married if you're 16. There might be a dozen ahead of you. You fall in and out of love pretty quick when you're young. But then there's some that are persistent, and I'll admit that. And okay, don't holler, don't scream. You're more mature than other 16-year-olds, aren't you? Okay, all right. You really know what love is, and I know you're not like the other immature juveniles. Well, in any case, you see, God will give you what you need. And sometimes it will be so unbelievably wonderful, you'll say, well, I wish now that I hadn't prayed for that other thing, because this is what I really needed. That's the wonderful thing. You pray for this and he'll give you that. And you say, well, praise God, I didn't get what I prayed for. I think there was a song a few years ago. Remember that song? I think it was Praise God for Unanswered Prayers. Praise God for unanswered prayers. Well, I think that's a play on words. He answers your prayers, but he doesn't always give you what you want, because some things could be hellish for you. Now, folks, today we're going to be talking about a very important subject, and I hope you're already prayed up on this subject. Now, I want to tell you right now, this program will offend some people. It's going to make some people mad. Angry, frustrated. Oh, their collar is going to start getting, you know, starchy. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to tell you the subject. You may want to go ahead and flip the dial. I hope you don't. I pray you don't. But here's the topic. Now, listen up, folks. This is one of the most important topics I've ever discussed. We're going to be discussing hell today. H-E-L-L. I started to say not too long ago. You know, when you get older like me, you know, 20 years ago was yesterday. But some years ago, preacher and I were talking. He said, you know, Tex, I go speak at many churches. And I said, yes. And he says, I went up to the state of Michigan. I was driving down the road. You know, I'd been looking at the map trying to figure which way to go. And I ended up on some small state highway there and looked up ahead. And there was a city a sign coming up, you know, city limits, and it said, Hale. Well, I was shocked. Turns out that there's a little town called Hale, Michigan. And he said, you know, Tex, it got me thinking. Man, what if I went to sleep one night and woke up, and the next sign coming up said, Hale? I said, that's a pretty frightening thing. Well, I don't know why those people up in Michigan call their town Hale. I know I wouldn't want to live there. I'd change the name. I don't know why the city fathers did that. But to believe me, according to this man, and he's an honest man, there is a little town named Hale, Michigan. I do know there's a town in New Mexico called Truth or Consequences. Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. Well, that's almost biblical, isn't it? Actually, I believe they named it after some television program back in the 60s. And the television said if you'll name any town that will change your name to the name of our TV program, we'll give you all these benefits, publicity, everything. And they did. The little town got together and everybody voted to change its name to Truth or Consequences. Well, you know, I believe that's what the Bible says about hell. You know, the Bible says you either believe in Jesus Christ and accept Him as Lord and repent of your sins because He is the way, the truth, and the life, or you'll face the consequences. That's it. It's stark. But it's also quite wonderful. If you accept Jesus, your destiny eternally is heaven and glory. But if you reject Him, you will. I'm here to tell you today, and that's why you may want to go ahead and turn this off. I'm going to give you a scriptural evidence of hell. I'm going to blast apart the false teachings out there today that there's no hell, or they've redefined it, reinterpreted it, redescribed it. And I believe God is going to turn these men who jigger and play around with His doctrine, I believe He's going to turn them, yes, listen to me, He's going to turn them into hell. Now, I know the IRS is not going to be happy. They've already told me that I can't be speaking these hellfire and brimstone sermons. I'm supposed to be moderate in my approach. But I think a lot of them are going to go to hell too, those agents, because they're reckless, brutal, unlawful agents of Big Brother. And they should do what the law says and be kind and merciful and get no more in money than the government deserves. I believe in paying taxes, but I don't believe in the reckless way the IRS has been running things and doing horrible things to people. Well, I'm not trying to preach on the IRS today. I'm just saying that I think a lot of those agents of the IRS are going to be in hell unless they repent. You say, well, Tex, boy, you are a hard preacher. Well, you know, I'm not anywhere near as hard as the Antichrist who's going to come. I think I'm a lot nicer, in fact, than the Antichrist. Here's what the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 5 about the Antichrist. Now, you can either believe me if you're not saved and accept Jesus. And by the way, you're going to enjoy earth, this planet, as well as your next abode. Or you can just go ahead and live what you think. It's not true, but you think is a pleasurable, joyful, a sinful life now, and face the consequences, truth or consequences. Well, here's what Habakkuk 2, verse 5 says. It says of the Antichrist, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. That's the Antichrist. He's prideful, arrogant. He doesn't let well enough alone. He doesn't stay at home. He goes out. He's a conqueror, Revelation 6, verse 2 says, because he will go forth conquering and to conquer. And he enlarges his desire, just as hell is large and enlarged. And he is as death, and he cannot be satisfied. Did you know, my friends, the Bible says that hell is not finished yet, that God keeps making it bigger and bigger. And believe me, He's not building luxury condos down there. Because man's sinful desires are never satisfied, then hell has to keep getting renovated and built bigger and bigger and bigger. Have you ever seen a home? Sometimes, you know, it was originally a four-room home, and then they added on two, and then they added on another, then another, and finally it looks like some kind of Frankenstein home. I've seen something like that, especially if they don't use the same kind of, you know, external brick or wood or whatever. They just look like, man, who put that house together? You know, it's like a camel, you know. They say a camel is a horse that was designed by a committee. You know, it's got humps on it. What are they? You know, they're not good for anything. Well, probably designed by some committee from hell. That's a horse. It's a thoroughbred down in hell, that camel. Well, believe me, my friends, hell is big, and it's getting bigger, because men's desires are never satisfied. You know, I remember the witch. She wrote a book called The Witch That Switched. She was down in Florida. I'm telling you the truth about this. She said to me, she said, you know, As a witch, I was never satisfied. No matter how much I got, all the sin and degradation that I got. And let me tell you, she molested children. She did the most vicious things as a witch. She was head of Florida's Church of Wicca, or witchcraft. She says, but no matter how much sin I got, I was never satisfied. She was an addict, and the devil made her want more and more, and she was never satisfied. She says, you know what? The minute I came to Jesus Christ and gave my life to Him, I was satisfied. I was content. I had peace. The devil will not leave you alone. And friends, if you're headed for hell, that's where you're headed for. If you're just determined to go there, believe me, even when you get there, you will never be satisfied. And believe me also, it is an eternal place. Now, let's talk about hell a little bit. Now, if you've got your new Bible version out there, NIV or the New American Standard or something, well, you're not going to find these verses. You see, most of them have changed even the very word hell. Did you know some of the new versions have changed the word hell in the Bible to grave? To grave. Well, now, let's think about that. So there's no hell, there's only the grave. Well, you know, when you die as a Christian, if Jesus doesn't come before you die, and you die, all of us are going to die in the flesh. So your body dies, you die, you go to the grave. Are you going to hell? Well, God forbid. God is not going to send you to hell, so how can hell and the grave be the same word? Everybody's going to the grave. You will go to the grave. It can be a watery grave. It can be down into the earth. They can put you in a concrete box. They can put you in a fancy mausoleum next to Marilyn Monroe and Clark Gable. But I'm telling you right now, wherever you're at, you're in the grave. You have no breath of life. You have no brain functioning going on. You are dead. The blood is not circulating. The doctors have signed your death certificate. They've had your funeral. That's it. But you're not in hell unless you rejected Christ. You are in the grave. At least your body is in the grave. But the spirit is separated from the body. Well, is hell the grave? Well, you know, if that's all it is, you just die and go to your grave, then Jesus sure did waste a lot of time. And you know, I have come to the stunning realization that every word that Jesus said is like a million volumes written by Confucius or Buddha or anybody else. And he said a lot about hell. Did you know that 24 times the word hell is mentioned in the New Testament? 24 times. And of those 24 times, Jesus mentioned it 16 of them. He must have thought hell was an important concept for you to know about. It's one of his doctrines. Say, well, hell, that's not important. Well, did Jesus waste his time? I don't think so. Now, there's many words. There's words in the Bible. There's, you know, we talk about, we can go to the Hebrew and the Greek and all those things. And there's hell and there's Sheol. And then there's Hades. And then there's Gehenna. And then there's Tartaru. And, oh, there's all these. Listen, there is hell and there is heaven. Say, but text, there are gradations even of heaven. Oh, I know the Apostle Paul talked about that. And I'm not going to get into all the little gradations or the fact that there might be different heavens. I simply want to tell you that when you get down to the sum of it all, there's heaven and there's hell. And you are going to go one place or the other.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars with Bible Home Church. Please tune in next week as Pastor Mars continues his sermon with part two of There's Plenty of Room in Hell. Until then, may God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.